The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
US officials have confirmed that Israel and Hezbollah have agreed to a ceasefire which came into effect as of 4 p.m. local time today. And Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast, joins us now. Sean, a lot happening in the region and yet not much happening at all. Let's talk about Israel and Hezbollah. Obviously, the conflict that was been ongoing in Lebanon has been a thorn in the side of the US and Iran in terms of their peace agreement. Do you think this ceasefire is going to hold when the previous ones have not?
Yeah, good afternoon, Kira. Good afternoon, Shane. I mean, the short answer is I struggle to see how it's going to hold. We've been talking about ceasefires almost solidly, haven't we, since the start of this war. What is interesting is really this is the first time that Hezbollah has actually signed or at least agreed to a deal. Up till now, it's been the Lebanon and Israel agreeing. And of course, although Hezbollah is part of the Lebanon, it's actually a very big force itself. So this is the first time that both sides have agreed. The trouble is that what we're looking at is a symptom. The disease is President Trump is desperately trying to get an off-ramp out of the conflict with Iran. Iran is Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. And the thing is that whilst Israel and America were lockstep at the start of this war, focused on teaching Iran a lesson, stopping it developing nuclear weapons, now the two agendas of America and Israel are very, very different. And it's really interesting to see whether President Trump can actually influence or indeed control Netanyahu in this really difficult and sensitive time.
Yeah, I presume we think still that Iran can control to some extent Hezbollah. So Iran's hand is in this, Hezbollah agreeing to a ceasefire. But I mean, Iran may have a trillion reasons for influencing Hezbollah to down arms.
Well, I think there's two points there, Kira, one of which is you make a really good point that I've dealt with a few of the Iranian commentators, and they regularly tell me, be careful before you treat Iran as a singular and Hezbollah as a singular. There are lots of different groups in Iran, not all of which believe that they want to do a deal with America, many of which believe that actually they've won this war and therefore they shouldn't do a deal at all. So it is quite fragile exactly where we sit with all of this. And I do think we've got to be very brave before we turn around and say, you know, Hezbollah is controlled by Iran. They should be, but there are all sorts of reasons. And I think what's most interesting to me is President Trump must be tearing his hair out at the moment because he's let loose the superpower that is American military. And yet Iran seems to have emerged stronger out of this than they were at the start of it. And therefore, now Iran seems to be dictating terms to President Trump. He's saying, right, we're going to get the Strait of Hormuz open first. President Trump agrees. Right, stop us fighting in Israel. President Trump has to turn around and deal with Netanyahu. It doesn't feel like a relationship that Iran has been subjugated and defeated and America's dictating terms. Quite the opposite.
No, it doesn't at all. And you mentioned the Strait of Hormuz, which we are hearing is open and is currently toll free, but with the suggestion that there may be tolls down the line, which have not existed previously. This is all uncharted territory to some extent, isn't it?
It is. I mean, when you say open, I think we have to caveat that slightly. My understanding is that the minefield that was still on the southern side of the Strait of Hormuz is still in the process of being cleared. The Americans have cleared a very narrow passageway close to Oman. The Iranians were allowing access to the north of the channel. But until that minefield gets cleared, it won't really be open for business completely. As regards the tolls, you're absolutely right. You know, Iran has threatened tolls. But what's interesting, they've been changing their language recently. They've talked about, well, we should work with the north of the strait. Oman is the south of the straits. We need to coordinate this traffic. We need to provide services, and therefore we should charge for those services. Now, America has still said that's absolutely unacceptable. But it's a really good example of where Iran is still developing bargaining chips in the negotiations to come.
Yeah, and it would have been previously considered that the strait was largely under I suppose, the territory of Oman, but Iran has proven different. You mentioned the relationship between Israel and the US, which heretofore has been a very solid one, often being described as Israel's greatest ally, the US. How damaged is this now, and what does it mean for Netanyahu going forward?
Well, that's a great question, Kira. I mean, let's, as you say, America is the strategic guarantor of security for Israel. And I don't think that bond will ever get broken. President Trump may well threaten it, but there is too tight a bond there. The challenge, of course, is that that doesn't mean Israel is subjugated to America. And what we're seeing here at the moment is in the cabinet, Prime Minister Netanyahu's cabinet, there are some hardliners there. And they absolutely do not want to see President Trump's sort of short-termist effort to get out of the conflict and agree some sort of very fragile deal so he can actually bring a war to an end. Whereas Israel's been fighting this threat from Hezbollah and other proxies ever since the formation of Israel. They know that this force that is Hezbollah will come and go, and therefore they see a window of opportunity to deal with it. So it's really difficult at the moment that Prime Minister Netanyahu doesn't want to appear that he's subjugated to Trump, but he also recognizes that he needs that ally. And it's going to be really interesting to see how much control Trump actually has, because ultimately, if he tries to exert control, I suspect he might get his fingers burnt.
Of course, Netanyahu has an eye on elections in the autumn as well, and his own political, I suppose, neck is on the line here. An end to the conflict, do you think that would help or would not help Netanyahu in terms of his own political skin?
I think if you look at what's been happening, particularly against Hezbollah, the Mossad had thoroughly weakened Hezbollah. And I think Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has dealt with Hamas, we're not talking much about that, but the Israeli Defense Forces keep pushing further and further into Gaza, out of our sight. They're putting more and more pressure there. They're putting more and more pressure into the West Bank, and they are now carving out a large part of the territory in southern Lebanon, probably north of the Litani River as well. I think Prime Minister Netanyahu seems to be setting his stall as a once-in-a-generation opportunity to deal with these threats. And that can only be celebrated, I suspect, by many Israelis. So he will not want to ease back on this pressure. He will want to leave a legacy of his time. And of course, he's also facing all sorts of charges as well. So it's a complicated landscape, but it's very difficult to see how Netanyahu will want to ease up at all at the moment.
Yeah, and very lastly, Sean, an empowered, as we might describe it, Iran is a disaster, I suppose, to some extent for Israel in terms of their vision of where this was all going to go. Do you think that the relationship now between Iran and Israel has also changed that power balance?
I'm very cynical here, I'm afraid, Kira. We unless you deal with the disease, what America's been doing is dealing with the symptoms. It's trying to stop Iran developing a nuclear weapon rather than persuading the leadership of Iran that a different course of action will lead to prosperity for Iran. Simply treating nuclear weapons and their military capability by fighting against it in many ways just hardens their resolve. We're not seeing a solution to the Middle East. All we're seeing is a sticky plaster being applied across it, and it will come back again if we don't do something differently.
Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.